young people's address. My brother, John Brereton, Des Moines General Meetings, 1972.
By singing hymn number 309. Jesus, before thy face we fall, our Lord, our life, our hope, our all. For we have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary, Lord, but thee. Some brother would start it for us. Afternoon at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, a portion that I imagine is well known to many, if not all, here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O Lord God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the Lord, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Barakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Well, dear young people, I believe that this chapter is full of instruction for us, full of that which can be a real encouragement to you and I in the path of faith, and yet at the same time, a chapter that can be instruction for us as to what to do, as to what our course should be when we see the great multitudes all around us that are opposed to the people of God and to the things of God. You notice where the chapter opens. It tells us that there were children of Moab and children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites. I believe Mr. Garvey's translation indicates that they were the Maonites from the south of Judah, the southern part south of the land of Judah, that were joined together to come up against Jehoshaphat to battle. And the first thing we notice is that there are some who were ready to come and tell Jehoshaphat, there's a great multitude coming against you. You know, dear young people, one of the things that has perplexed my own heart from time to time, and I don't point the finger at anyone else other than myself, but I wonder why it is sometimes we are so quick to comment about the power of the enemy, so quick to point out the great multitudes that are opposed to the people of God, to point out the immense problems that are involved in this day in which we live. Our brethren and men of God talk about the fact that we are faced with enemies who want to rob the people of God of the precious truths that we have. And we find sometimes the young people talk about the difficulties and the problems that they face at school. Well, we find here that there were those who were quick to come to Jehoshaphat and tell him about this great multitude. May it be possible for us, perhaps, to enter in more, and perhaps we will as we go through this chapter, enter in more into who it is that is for us rather than who it is that is against us. To see the immense forces that are for us in this pathway of faith, as opposed to being so much concerned with those who are opposed to the path of faith. Well, we find, as we notice in the beginning of the chapter, that there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. And in the third verse it says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Well, this fear, dear young people, I submit to you, was a truly godly fear. This was a fear that is right and proper for you and I. It's the fear that says we have no strength in ourselves. We have no power, we have no might to meet the enemy, regardless of the size of the company that comes against us. The effect on Jehoshaphat was that he feared and he set his heart, set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Israel, throughout all Judah. Beloved young people, you and I are faced with problems. You and I are faced with difficulties. You who are going to school or in college or at work, there are forces, there are powers that are opposed to you there. You're going to come up against difficulties when you go home from these meetings. When you get back to school or you get back to the job, you're going to find that which is going to be hard. And yet, if it has the effect, the realization that those problems are there, if it has the effect of driving you to the Lord, of giving you to look to the Lord, of owning to the Lord that you have no strength, no power, that it isn't your might or your wisdom or your intelligence or your spirituality that is going to enable you to overcome, but the fact that in having no strength, you are compelled to look to the Lord for deliverance. This is the effect on Jehoshaphat. He turns to the Lord and seeks help from the Lord and proclaims a fast. And then it tells us, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. These people of God, these in the land of Judah, they came together to seek the Lord. Dear young people, there is immense blessing. There is immense blessing from coming together with the people of God to be before the Lord about the problems and difficulties of the way. You know, I was talking to a young man just a couple of weeks ago, and he told me, he said, I think I'm just going to give everything up. He said, there's so much confusion and so much difficulty that he said, I'm just going to take my wife and I, and we're going to go off by ourselves and forget about all the problems. Well, what I sought to bring before him was the question as to where the Lord was. Where would the Lord have him to be? He was becoming distressed by the multitude of the problems and difficulties. The problems amongst the saints of God, the difficulties in the assemblies, the difficulties in the pathway of faith. And he had decided, that the course for him was simply to separate himself from everything and from everybody. Well, these people here in the land of Judah, could they not have said, here's the enemy, he's coming against the land, I'm going to sit here right at home and pray about it. I'm going to sit here right at home and ask the Lord to help. You say, would the Lord not have heard? Oh, I'm sure, dear young people, the Lord would have heard. But there is a power, there is a blessing that comes from the people of God coming together to seek the help from the Lord. And dear young people, I encourage you with all my heart to be together with the people of God. The problems that you face, bring them to the Lord when the people of God come together and lay them out before Him. And when we see problems and difficulties arising in the assemblies, does it encourage us to simply say, I'm going to stay at home? This is too difficult. There's too much trouble. There's too much difficulty. Or does it bring us together to seek help from the Lord? Oh, beloved young people, may it have the effect on your heart and mine to bring us together to seek help from the Lord. Judah came from all over the country. It says from every city. They came even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And when they came together, Jehoshaphat stood. And you notice it says in the sixth verse, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? These ones in the earlier part of the chapter had come to Jehoshaphat and said, Jehoshaphat, there's a great multitude coming. Now Jehoshaphat gets before the Lord and says, art not thou the God in heaven? Oh, beloved young people, are you occupied? Are you concerned? Are your eyes on that great multitude or on the God of heaven? Are we occupied or concerned with the multitude of the forces opposed to us or the one who is for us? Jehoshaphat says, art not thou the God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? What about these powers that were coming against them? Art not thou he that ruleth over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might? What about this great multitude? Oh, he says, in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? What concern is there as to the size of the multitude? None is able to withstand thee. None. Is the army 10,000 strong? Is it 100,000 strong? Is it 1,000,000 strong? Here's Jehoshaphat standing there before that congregation and saying, none is able to withstand thee. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? Here's an invading army coming. And here's Jehoshaphat, he stands before the Lord and says, aren't you the one that drove them out before? Aren't you the one that drove out these armies before and gave us this land? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. In other words, here's Jehoshaphat. He stands before the Lord and he says, Lord, you gave us all this. Lord, this was thy gift to us. And here there is someone coming that wants to take it away. Beloved saints of God, dear young people especially, I say to you, these precious truths, this precious ministry that we have been given to enjoy, the precious, wondrous privilege of being gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a gift. We have done nothing to earn it. There isn't any one of us that can stand up and say it was because we were so devoted, we were so faithful, we were so upright before the Lord that the Lord brought us into this place. No, we have to own, as has already been mentioned many times in these meetings, that our faces are in the dust, that the Lord and only the Lord in His grace has preserved to us what He has given us, what He has given us. And so Jehoshaphat lays it out before the Lord, and as it were, he brings before the Lord the fact that what these people had come to take away was what the Lord had given them. No thought on their part, no thought upon in the heart of Jehoshaphat to say, we earned it, we fought the battles, we beat the enemy here before, we drove them out. No, he said, the Lord did all that. The Lord gave it to us. And if this army is coming now to try to take it away, they're trying to take away something, Lord, that thou didst give to us. And so it is, dear young people, that while there are undoubtedly many, many attacks being made upon the precious truths that we now know and enjoy as a gift from God, many, many things that are being attacked on every side. Some of you come from assemblies where there are difficulties and problems and upsets and things that distress you and concern you. Beloved young people, remember that that precious truth that you and I have been given to know and to enjoy is a precious gift from God. And there is one who is far more interested in maintaining that precious truth and you in the good of that precious truth than you will ever be, the Lord Himself. He wants you to go on in the enjoyment of it. And when we turn to Him and are cast upon Him, owning that we have no strength, it is His delight to overcome the enemies for us, to deliver us in spite of our weakness, in spite of our failure, and to preserve to us the precious things that are His gift to His people. Well, you notice it says in the 12th verse, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Oh, beloved saints of God, have we not been reminded of this precious truth in recent years? When there have been troubles and difficulties arise, when truly the people of God have had to say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. And when some of here can look back over many, many years, the speaker this afternoon looked back over just a few years and see the wondrous grace of God, where there has been an owning before Him that we have no might, that we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. When there has been an owning that we don't know what to do, when the problems are such, beloved saints of God, that there is no fast and quick answer, but simply a turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, we have no might, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And dear young people, there are brethren here in this company this afternoon that could tell you of times, many, many times, when there has been such a simple casting of the burden upon the Lord, that the Lord has come in his own time and in his own way and wrought deliverance for his people. Well, what about the problems that face you as young people? Are the resources any different? Can you say, well, the problems I face are not assembly problems, they're problems at school. I've had young people say to me, you just have no idea of the problems that we face at school. Well, are we prepared to say, Lord, we have no might for the assembly problems, but we've got lots of might for the problems at school? We've got lots of might. We can look after the school problems. Lord, we'll just leave it to you to look after the assembly problems. No, dear young people, the problem, the basic problem is the same. We have no might, regardless of which aspect, which section of the great company is that comes against us. Whether it's the teachers at school, whether it's the other students at school, whether it's the people at the office, whether it's Christian children, dear young people that belong to Christ but whose parents do not, whether it's problems in the assembly, whether it's problems in the home, whatever it is, the answer is the same. We have no might, but there is one who is longing to hear the cry saying, Lord, help us. We find here that Jehoshaphat cries. He says, we have no might, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And then, beloved young people, I would like you to think, stop and think a little bit about the next verse for a moment. Notice it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Oh, beloved saints of God, how that verse has spoken to my own heart. To think of all Judah, they came from every city. They came together because of this great multitude that was come against them. And they stood together, the wives, the husbands, the children, the little ones. They stood together before the Lord, waiting for the Lord's answer. They had put the problem to the Lord, the great difficulty that they were faced with, and now they stood together, waiting for the answer. Dear young people, there are many, and we thank God for them, many godly brethren, men whom we esteem highly for their work's sake, who are greatly concerned about the efforts of the enemy that are being made, the enemy of our souls that are being made to rob us of the precious truths of God that we now know and enjoy. There are many of our dear godly brethren who are greatly concerned about the effects of the coldness of heart that we can see in our own hearts, the effect that it has upon the way we conduct ourselves, on the way we dress, on the way we speak, whatever it is. Dear young people, can I ask you and ask myself too, do we stand with these dear brethren? Do we stand with them when they cry to the Lord for the Lord to undertake for us in these difficulties? Do you say in all honesty, I stand with them? I stand with them. I see their concern. I see their concern. I know their trouble. I know they're anxious and concerned about the things that they see coming in amongst the Lord's people. Dear young people, do you stand with them? Would you stand with them, the sons, the daughters? Stand with those who have a godly concern for that which is coming in amongst the people of God. Oh, I submit to you, dear young people, that if we did, if we stood together, sharing their concern, sharing their burden, sharing that view of the multitude that they see, beloved young people, we would see the Lord's blessing. We would see the Lord's deliverance. We would see the way the Lord would come in and grant us a blessing in connection with these problems and difficulties. But then I would also submit to my brethren, to those perhaps in my own generation or perhaps older, Brethren, is there not a need for us too to stand with the young people and the burdens that are on their hearts too? Sometimes I hear dear young people saying, the brethren just don't understand. They just don't understand. Dear young people saying, the brethren just don't understand. They just don't understand. They don't understand what's affecting my heart. They don't understand the problems that I'm facing. They don't understand. Oh, my beloved brethren, would we not seek grace from the Lord to stand with the dear young people too, to share their burdens with them, to share their cries to the Lord for the problems that they face, for the view of the great multitude that they see? Their problems, many of them are different. Many of them are different from the problems that you and I faced. And dear young people, may God give you the grace to share the exercises of your brethren. And beloved brethren, may the Lord give to you and I the grace to share with the young people their exercises, their concerns, their burdens, that we might cry to the Lord not only for them, but cry to the Lord with them, that they might feel not only that we are praying for them, but that we are standing with them, crying to the Lord to help them, to undertake for them, to grant to them also the deliverance that he is able to give. Well, you notice in the goes on to say in the 14th verse, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, how many of us, I'm sure, have rejoiced in those precious words before. The battle is not yours, but God's. We look at the great multitude and we say, as it were, how can we ever win? And then we find out that it is not our battle, it is God's. That he has undertaken, that he has taken the burden, that he has taken the battle upon himself. That view of the multitude, that section of the great multitude that you're going to face at school come next week, or at the office, or wherever it is, that problem that you're going to face next week in the assembly, wherever it is, that problem that's going to arise, that the enemy is behind, seeking to discourage you and I from going on in the path of faith, how are we going to overcome them? How are we going to win? Oh, dear young people, we have the answer right here. The battle is not yours, but God's. That changes all the aspects of the battle. Whereas before it was a battle between that great multitude and us, now we're given, as it were, to see that it is a battle between that great multitude and God. Great multitude and God. And so it is that the resources that are available to you are summed up in that word, God. Summed up in that person, God. The battle is not yours, but God's. But then notice it says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now again, to me, this is very precious. If we go back to the beginning of the chapter, we find that the few that came to Jehoshaphat said there's a great multitude coming and that they are at En Gedi, which was right on the coast of the Dead Sea. Now we find out that when they put the whole thing before the Lord, when they take the whole burden to the Lord and lay it out before the Lord's answer comes back to them through this man, the one of the sons of Asaph, and the Lord says, I know exactly where they are. It isn't just a matter of them being at En Gedi. He says, I'll tell you exactly where they are. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You know, it's to my own soul, it's as if the Lord said this: while you've had your eyes upon me, I've been keeping watch over that enemy. That I've been watching them. I know exactly what they're doing. I know just exactly how far they've got. I know exactly where they are right now. I can tell you exactly where you're going to meet them. He said, I've been watching them. And so it was for the children of Judah. They found out that while they were telling the Lord about this great multitude, the Lord comes back and tells them, I know all about them. I know all about them. I know exactly who and what and where they are. Dear young people, there is not a problem, not a problem or a person or a difficulty that you are going to face next week or next month, if the Lord should tarry, that the Lord doesn't know all about. He knows exactly who they are and what they are. He knows in what way they are going to be oppose you in the path of faith. And the Lord is looking, is watching for you to take the burden and cast it upon him. The battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Oh, beloved young people, what a precious, precious thing to lay hold of in your soul. The Lord will be with you. You say, that you don't know about the problems that I face. And dear young people, that's true. I don't know about the problems that many of you face, but I know that the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. I don't know what the size is of the great multitude that you're going to face, but I know that the Lord will be with you. If you'll just take that burden and roll it off onto him, the size of the multitude in opposition becomes relatively unimportant. Relatively unimportant. The battle is not yours, but God's. The Lord will be with you. Well, he said, set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, beloved young people, sometimes this is very hard to do. Sometimes we're like Peter. We would like to pull out our sword and start flashing it around. Sometimes we'd like to, as it were, whip it out and see what we can accomplish. And sad to say, as it's often pointed out, very often all we succeed in doing is cutting off someone's ear so they won't listen. But where there's a standing still, where there's a recognition that in this fight, the multitude is too great for us, but the Lord is with us. When we realize that this battle couldn't help but go against us, but for the fact that the battle is not ours, but God's. And here we have the wisdom of God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Take the problem, take the difficulty, and lay it out before the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Oh, dear young people, perhaps I can almost hear someone saying, I've already done that. I've left it there 3 months and I haven't seen anything happen yet. Oh, beloved young people, I submit to you and I submit to my own heart something that is perhaps one of the hardest lessons for us to learn. But we cannot give the Lord timetables. We cannot give the Lord timetables. I remember talking to one of the young people a while ago. I trust I can say this reverently. But one of the young people said to me a while ago, they said, well, you said to wait on the Lord about it. And he said, how long? How long am I supposed to wait? Well, I asked him, as I say, I trust I can say it reverently, but I asked him, I said, do you think you'd be prepared, as it were, to go before the Lord today and say to the Lord, Lord, I'm prepared to allow you 6 months to get this straightened out. And if after 6 months it isn't straightened out, then I'll straighten it out. And he started to smile and he said, I see what you mean. He said, I see what you mean. We have to leave it with the Lord. In this particular chapter here, we see an immediate answer. We see the immediate deliverance. This isn't always true. But the principle, dear young people, is the same. The battle is not yours, but God's. The Lord will be with you. And stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, you notice it goes on then in the 18th verse. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Oh, again, this to me is very precious. Here we see a company. Jehoshaphat has been, he's the king. He's the king, and he stands up there. He's the spokesman. He recounts before the Lord all the Lord's great power and wisdom and glory. But where does the answer come from? The Lord's message for his people that day, where does it come from? It comes from someone that, as far as I know, is not heard of in the Word of God before. Now, one of the sons of Asaph, he simply gets up and he tells them what the Lord is going to do. Dear young people, may the Lord give to you and I not to be occupied in any way, with by whom the message comes, but only with the Lord's message that he sends to his people. To me, it is so beautiful that here this, can I call him this obscure son of Asaph? He gets up and he delivers the Lord's message, that wondrous message of grace to his people. And what happens? Jehoshaphat the king, instead of saying, why didn't it come by me? I'm the king. Surely if the Lord was going to give us the answer, I would have got it. But no, he worships the Lord. He thanks the Lord and worships the Lord for the message. But what about the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites? If I remember correctly, and I may be wrong in this, but I believe I'm right in saying that Asaph was one of the descendants of the Gershomites. And here it was, here were the other sections of the family of the Levites, and they don't stop and say, well, why didn't the message come by us? Why should Asaph be the one? Why should he get the glory? Why should he be the one to deliver the message? No, beloved young people, the messenger is nothing. The messenger is nothing. It's the message, the one who sends the message, that gets the glory. And the result is here, to me, so beautiful. This son of Asaph delivers the answer from the Lord. Jehoshaphat the king worships, and the other sections of the families of the Levites, they get up and praise the Lord. They thank the Lord and praise the Lord for what the Lord was doing for them. Then you notice it says, they rose up early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, here's the message has come. The message has come from the Lord. They took the problem to the Lord, and the Lord has given his answer, a promise of deliverance. Now, dear young people, are they going to believe it? Are they going to act in faith on the promise that has been given? Jehoshaphat says, believe in the Lord your God. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Oh, beloved young people, you and I can talk about the promises of God, the wondrous promises, precious promises that we have in this book. But do we believe in our God? You know, some of us were just talking yesterday about one of the most amazing things to one's own soul, and I find it in my own soul too, so I'm not suggesting this as in accusing anyone else. But it can't help but amaze us when we stop to think that we are prepared to trust the Lord about the most vital question that can ever be put to us, the destiny of our souls, where we are going to be in eternity, and we trust the Lord completely and absolutely for that, and then find it so difficult to trust the Lord for our circumstances, to trust the Lord for tomorrow's breakfast, and yet we want to say, I trust the Lord. The Lord has promised he shall supply all your need. That's a lovely promise. Well, the Lord had given these people a promise. Now Jehoshaphat says, believe it. Believe it. Act on it. Dear young people, you've got a promise. The Lord says, I'll be with you. Now act on it. You have a promise from the Lord. The battle's not yours, but God's. Now may the Lord give you and I the grace to act on it. Jehoshaphat, he said, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. Believe the precious word of God that we have. So shall ye prosper. Well, what happened? He consulted with the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise in the beauty of holiness. You know, pardon me referring to a different translation for just a moment. Mr. Darby's translation in connection with that verse to me is so beautiful. He says, praise the Lord in holy splendor. Oh, I love that. Praise the Lord. Just imagine an army going out, praising the Lord in holy splendor. And why? Because they had got a promise and they believed it. They got a promise and they acted on it. And they went out in faith, trusting that the one who had made the promise would do exactly what he had promised. Dear young people, you can go out. You can go home from these meetings. You can go to the office tomorrow, or next day, or next week, or next month, and praise the Lord in holy splendor, because you're rejoicing in the promise that the Lord will be with you. And the battle is not yours, but God's. You notice it says then, praise the Lord, and then they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. The wondrous, wondrous grace and mercy of God that would bear with his people. If we were to turn back just two chapters in this book, we'd find this same king, Jehoshaphat, involved in something that he should never have been involved upon at all. Something that he had to be rebuked for. But he could now join in praising the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. In spite of the failure in Jehoshaphat's life, in spite of the failure in Jehoshaphat's associations, he got deliverance from it. And the Lord, in his mercy, bore with him and undertook for him now in this trial. And then you notice it says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You know, dear young people, I may have mentioned to some of you before, or you may have heard it mentioned before, but the world has an expression, seeing is believing. But you know, in the things of God, the truth is just the opposite. God says, you believe it, and I'll show it to you. You remember in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus said to one of the sisters of Bethany, he said to her, if thou believest, thou shalt see the glory of God. Now the world says, you show it to me, and then I'll know that it's true. Well, dear young people, God doesn't work that way. He says to you, you believe it. I've promised it to you. You believe it, act on the promise, and I'll show you that I keep my promises. Dear young people, that's what he's looking for from you and I, to walk in that path of faith, trusting him to keep his promises, trusting him to rely on the simple fact that the battle is not yours, but God's. Well, then you notice it says, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Oh, dear young people, contrast that with what Jehoshaphat said. We have no might. You notice it says in the 12th verse, for we have no might against the great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. They said to the Lord, our eyes are upon thee. The Lord in his answer showed them that his eyes had been on that great multitude. He knew exactly who and what and where they were. And now, when the children of Judah finally see the multitude for the first time, actually see the enemy, they see the evidence before their eyes of the fulfilled promise of God. There was the evidence. He had dealt with the problem. He had dealt with the difficulty. He had delivered. Not one of them had escaped. They were all dead. Not one of the children of Judah had so much as lifted a sword. No, the Lord had said to them, ye shall not have to fight in this battle. Beloved young people, we have no might, but there is no enemy that can come against the people of God. No enemy, no problem that can arise in your life or mine, but that the one who is able to deliver, the one who has promised that he is with you, that one is able to overcome. There is, as it said earlier, so there none is able to withstand thee. Beloved young people, this is your portion and mine. And oh, would to God that we would get our eyes upon the one who is able to deliver. Instead of being occupied with the problems, instead of being occupied with the great multitude, to realize in our souls that the Lord has said, the battle is his. The battle is his. And beloved young people, what we covet, what I covet for my own soul, is when these problems do arise, to stand with my beloved brethren, together, crying to the Lord for help. And for the dear young people, oh beloved brethren, may we seek to stand with them, to cry to the Lord, not, as we said, not only for them, but with them, to stand with them against the problems that they face, looking to the same Lord for the same deliverance from the problems that are their portion from day to day. Well, you notice, in closing, it says that the 25th verse, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Dear young people, the Lord allows the difficulties. The Lord allows the problems. The Lord allows the problems that are in your life. The Lord knows all about the difficulty that's in your assembly right now. He knows all about the problem that you're facing there. And, beloved young people, I submit to you that there is blessing for you in that trial if you accept it from Him. There is blessing. There is spoil to be gathered. You say, it doesn't seem possible. Oh, dear young people, do you think Jehoshaphat, when he was told about that great army that was coming, do you think that he realized at the time that this was going to be a time for collecting spoil? No, indeed he did not. But that's what the Lord gave them. That's what the Lord gave them. When the trial came, when the difficulty came, when the onslaught came, the Lord dealt with it. And the people of God collected the spoil. Dear young people, I have already seen it. I submit to you, I have already, and many of my brethren here have already seen it many times. I have seen it just of recent years, where there has been an onslaught of the enemy, where the multitude has come up and sought to attack the people of God. And in the Lord's own time and in His own way, He has wrought deliverance.
And I have seen in the lives of the people of God the blessing. I have seen them pick up the spoil. Yes, beloved young people, I have seen them pick up the spoil from the Lord's deliverance. And the Lord is ready to do this for you with the problems that you face, whatever they are, to give you in His own time His deliverance, to give you in His own time that which would be for your blessing, that which would be for your good. And in the meantime, if you accept it from Him, if you cast the whole burden upon Him and leave it with Him and stand still, there will be a reaping time when you'll collect the spoils of having left it with Him. It may even be possible, dear young people, it may even be possible that you'll have to wait till the judgment seat of Christ to collect. It may be. As we had brought before us yesterday, and I thought it was so important to see, the Lord doesn't always come in miraculous deliverance as He did here for these ones. But the Lord has promised that He will be with you. The Lord has promised that the battle is His. And the Lord has shown us here that in His own time, in His own way, whatever it is, He gives the deliverance. The enemies are slain, and the people of God collect the spoil. May God give us the grace, dear young people, give us to each one to cast our burdens upon Him, to leave them there, conscious that His eye is ever upon His people, and that there isn't one move, one step taken by the enemy of your enemy and mine, but that the Lord knows all about it, and He wants us to take that burden and cast it upon Him. Can we just ask the Lord's blessing?
Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Oh, how wonderful. It isn't enough that He should speak to Adam, that He should speak to Cain, that He should walk in communion with Enoch, that He should come to Noah and tell him of an ark, that He should call him Abram, that He should speak to Moses in the fiery bush, and that He should be the captain of the Lord's host. But now this precious one comes down into this world and is born as a man, as a child into this world, that He might be near His people. Oh, what a wonderful mystery. Our hearts can scarcely take it in. And what can we say of it? Only praise Him, Emmanuel, God with us. And it has struck me as I've been thinking about this, how unhappy, how awful the rejection by His people of this Savior. Let's just look at very quickly at one or two places to speak about how they did reject Him. Look in Matthew chapter 2. Beginning at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary. This is a couple of years after the Lord was born. This is when the Lord Jesus is a young child, not a baby. Young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And now notice, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into His own country. They departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child.